Christ to be going forth in these Muslim lands and closed countries, even like North Korea as well. So there's going to be hopefully a motivator to do that, and we'll pray for people like this here, like Lena, that they will live out every day God has ordained for them to live out in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're talking here tonight about the ministry of angels, and so it's going to be, again, I believe it's going to be a good study for us to take and remember some things you might have learned in the past, learn some new things about this. There's many, many books and movies about angels that's happened over the years. Even TV series like Touched by an Angel has come out as well. These kind of movies and books give us some questions sometimes about angels. Things like this about are there female angels? Are there male angels? Is there any kind of a gender with those? Angels appeared also in the Bible all the way from the Garden of Eden, clear in the book of Revelation. So throughout the entire Bible, we're going to find there is talk about angels. They're also mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. They have supernatural power. They have supernatural purpose. And so angels are among us. They are invisible, like secret agents here. And so we're going to try to answer all the questions we can biblically about angels, learn more about them, the good angels and the fallen angels as well. So again, there's verses here I've typed out for you, the New King James Version. A lot of these will be also on the screen as well. I think almost all of them are on there in your notes to take home. And try to get these notes if you can. At some point, try to organize notes we have on Wednesday nights. Maybe make a file folder of some kind there to go back for references for future use as well. So let's start here in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12 says, For he shall give his angels, charge over you. Praise God, it's not the devil's angels, it's God's angels. Give them charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, of course, this verse was used by Satan himself against Jesus. Whenever Christ was put on the pinnacle of the temple, he said, go ahead and throw yourself down, for is it not written that he shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone? But, of course, Jesus Christ takes scriptures and uses other verses with that. It says also, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, nor put him to the test. Is Cheryl in here? I'm going to have Anson maybe help me out here. I need to get a cup of water, if it's possible, back here. That's one thing Greg does do that I might need tonight. All right, thank you, one of you two. Appreciate that. So Psalm 34, verse 7 goes on next of all and says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. And, of course, that word fear does not mean we're afraid of God. It means we actually have an awesome respect of the Lord. Those who respect God in a fearful way, an awesome type way, he makes his angels encamp around them and also delivers them. So angels are also used by God to bring deliverance to us, bring protection to us in some way. I don't believe in the angels of Hollywood or the kind of angels we see around us for the most part, the one that are all white with a halo and with wings and so forth. You don't find wings on angels except for in a few parts of scriptures about the cherub or the cherubim. And you're going to find most angels, even that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, parts of the Bible, they had no wings on their backs as well. I don't think God needs for us to have wings in heaven, because we're not going to be up there doing the kind of things up there we do down here in a spiritual body. And angels have a spiritual body, not a physical body, unless God gives it to them temporarily for some use on the earth. Okay, so in fact, any time that a prophet or someone had an angel appear before them, the Bible says, do not take and do not pray to angels. Don't worship them or pray to them. When a prophet would have an angel manifest before them, or a man of God, woman of God, an angel manifest before them, thanks for that, and they tried to actually take and have the angel bow down to the angel, or even tried to worship them, every time the angel said, do not worship me, do not bow down to me, stand back up again, because I'm not God, I'm not Jesus, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and so I am not a person, a being to be worshipped at all. Worship the Lord your God. So if you ever see a Bible verse about where an angel is actually allowing worship to come, it's only going to be when the angel of the Lord may show up, which is actually the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, who is worthy of praise, worthy of honor, and worthy of worship. But angels are not to be worshipped, okay? So not only is Psalm 34:7 telling us that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God, but also there's evidence that we have our own personal angels ourselves. I believe that all of us have what we've called or have been known to call a guardian angel. Because it says here to us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus Christ is talking about offending children, little babies, little preschoolers, and so forth, because the disciples were rebuking people for bringing them to Christ to be blessed and so forth. He says, take heed that you do not despise, offend one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So God is saying here that all of us have our own angels, and it actually is plural there. Their angels, plural, see the face of the Father all the time in heaven. And so I don't know how many angels you guys have got. Cheryl jokes all the time about my driving. And she said one time when she was driving in Colorado, coming back from there, and I was passing people, she thought dangerously, I call it advanced driving skills, and I was actually passing to me very safely. I just rammed the brakes on. Nobody went off in the ditch. I passed them safely. Amen. But anyway, my brother-in-law behind me actually was asking, I wonder if this guy has any angels around that car. And my sister, sleeping next to him, all of a sudden woke up and said, there's four of them. And she just went back to sleep. And so I have at least four angels, I'm told, around my car. And if I need them, praise God, because again, I can say tonight, I've had no wrecks in 30, 40 years. It's been my fault. And so that's a blessing. Amen. Okay, so moving on here. We talked about how angels also says here, delivers us, protects us. You guys heard Sarah, our own youngest daughter, testified, not her, but Cheryl did it on a Sunday morning, about how she almost had a very, very terrible car crash about a month ago. For she's over there by Lakeline Mall, that great big old giant intersection over there, and in that area on 620 where the guy that was being reckless was in a great big giant four-wheel pickup that was jacked up off the ground with great big monster tires, and he ran a red light and was coming right for Sarah's side to T-bone her. And that's one of the worst kind of wrecks you can have, is a T-bone wreck, because it normally will take and slam your head against the side of your car door windows, and just as she brings death many, many times from having a wreck like that. And so by the grace of God, this man, when he puts his brakes on, supernaturally his truck going about 50 miles an hour just came to a dead stop much quicker than anything would have happened in a natural realm. I believe that's an angel doing things like that to bring protection to us. Amen. That's why I pray every single day. I pray for traveling mercies for all of my family, all of my children, by name, my wife, myself. I say, Father God, protect us as we drive in vehicles, ride in vehicles. Protect August, our grandson. I name their names in specific there. And I just believe that God hears those prayers, and God has angels helping us out in supernatural realms on things that could happen that just do not happen. Even people like Michael Moon, even though he was seriously injured in that car crash 3 years ago now, still recovering from that, by all natural means, he could have been killed hitting that brick wall, that cement wall on I-35 at 60 miles an hour. So again, angels can make things happen lesser or not happen at all, I believe, in supernatural realms. There's also the story here about an 89 flight, 1989, there's a 747 with United Airlines that actually was going in the air, taking off, and for some reason the fuselage, a whole section blew out on takeoff up in the air, and when it did that, the decompression caused all the people sitting close to the hole to be sucked out the airplane, and even if one or two of them went into the engines, of course, killed all of them. And so the story behind the story was a Christian businessman on that flight, before the airplane took off, he said he heard a voice in a very, very kind of a calm way say, get up and move. And he said, well, this sounds like some kind of weird thought in my head. Get up and move. This airplane's half empty. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. Then the voice came back louder and said in a forceful way, get up and move right now. He heard the voice very strong the second time. He gets up. He goes and moves back about three more rows behind him. And, of course, then a few minutes later, the whole fuselage area there, it blows out. And where he was sitting at was right next to the place where the actual skin blew off the airplane. He would have been sucked out and killed had that not taken place and happened. Now, what kind of shows us here also, I've heard time and again, the other folks that did not hear the voice, did not live through that, I'm sure most of them were probably unbelievers. And so it's not because God does not like unbelievers, but the Bible says those who fear the Lord, those who know God, they will have angels in camp around them and will help protect them in times of turmoil. Amen? So praise God, we don't just have hell insurance from Jesus Christ. We also have divine protection on the earth, life insurance on the earth as well, with angels around us. Amen? So I like that as well around us happening. The third story I want to talk about here is some of you guys have been here for a few years, heard us before, I'm sure, where I was living in South Africa. And Cheryl's, what's her name? Cheryl's sister named Anne. They had actually sold or renting their house out to us in South Africa. And this house had a driveway that was about 50 yards long. And it went kind of a little incline up a hill. Then it went off to a left to an L over to what was called a granny flat, a place for Gran and Pa, the parents of her sister's husband lived at, Gran and Pa. And they had this trained German shepherd that actually was a trained attack dog. And it was tied to a rope at the top of the incline, 50 yards from the street. And so I was told to go get something from Gran and Pa and then come back down again. And so I was going in the dark up this incline toward the German shepherd, but he was tied up. He was kind of straining at the rope and barking and so forth and growling. I thought, well, it's okay. He's tied up. It's all right. So I actually got clear up there to where the German shepherd was at, made the little left-hand turn there. And the second I got within 3 feet of their door, the German Shepherd came right off that rope like it was nothing and came charging at me, but I was already only 3 feet from the doors. I got right in there with no problem whatsoever. I believe angels can do things like that to hold ornery mean dogs back and not cause them to attack us. Amen. And so we have many, many stories of how angels have done things I know in our lives. You guys have stories yourselves, I'm sure, as well, of things that angels have done for you. And they're still at work around us because they're called ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation working on the earth in our behalf. I believe right now in this room, our angels are right here with us. They're listening. They're praising God. They're worshiping the Lord because the Bible says here, your angels ever behold the face of the Father. And so they're praising God, worshiping God, seeing God's face right now, but also rejoicing because you guys are all together here and they're getting with their buddies here right now and having a party themselves probably in the atmosphere around us. While we have this worship and church service together. Amen. There's some take-home points here written out in your notes. Number one is angels, the Bible says, are created beings. So that means they are not equal to God. They were made by God. Those things that are made by God are not equal to God. They're not the creator themselves. They don't create anything themselves. They're made by God. Psalms 148:2 and then also verse 5 verifies this. It says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. So God gave a command, and angels were created. And again, it says here, only God's angels praise him. Only God's people also praise him. Don't expect demons or ungodly folks to praise and worship God, because there's nothing inside of them to do that at all. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 goes on and says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and also that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and also created even for him. And so God's made all things invisible, those things we cannot see, the spiritual realm, all those things we can see were made for the Lord. Now, I've heard many folks also say that even the devil himself is actually being used by God in his own ways to sometimes show who is actually for God, who is actually against God. The tempter, Satan, and demons around us, God does not like what he does. God does not like the fact that they're fallen and rebelled against him. But God will still use them for his own purposes to show sometimes who's for God and who's actually against God. And to show who can stand against temptation, who cannot stand against temptation. So even Satan is used in his own way to show God some things about our own lives in spiritual senses, okay? Next of all, the Bible declares, your note says this, that the invisible world is actually greater than the visible world. The word visible goes there in your notes. I believe in due time we ourselves will join in with the invisible world and we'll be part of the kingdom of God. And I believe we'll be like the angels. The Bible says we'll be made like the angels ourselves. Now, what is actually invisible to us today will not be invisible to us too much longer. Once you receive your glorified body, once your spirit man totally is consumed by life and by light, once this tent is gone, you can then have no limits and you can see everything that God sees. And you'll see the angels, you'll see God's glory, you'll see God's face, you'll live and not die. And all these things will be great and glorious here, but the visible world today is not as great as the invisible world is at all. We are locked into a physical world with limits of space and time. This is evident when Elijah, the Bible says, prayed about his servant, because the servant was said, there's all these armies of Syria around us. They outnumber us. They're going to destroy us. And it says, Elijah prayed and said, please, God, let him see what I see. I can prophetically see that there are chariots of fire and horses of fire in all the mountains around us, but he can't see that. Please open his spiritual eyes up to see what I see. And all of a sudden, he said, God removed the veil from his eyes. The guy could all of a sudden see, his servant could see the chariots and the armies of Israel, all these angelic hosts, I believe, the fires that were there inside their being. And so through that, faith came into his life. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, just for reference on that as well. Number two, angels also have superior knowledge. Angels, I don't know, again, if their brains or their minds are increasing like ours are, but I know they have a mind that's not been corrupted by sin, not been corrupted by anything that we've gone through ourselves on the earth. And so I'm sure angels have a great, vast, genius-type knowledge in them because they've been made by God, and they know things that are in the spiritual realm, natural realm, that's above what we know ourselves. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20 says, to bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing. But my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of the angel of God to know everything that is in the earth. I know, again, that angels are smart and wise as far as knowledge goes, because I know demons are. I've seen demons make clocks work. I've seen them make electronics do strange things. I've seen them turn our fans on in our house. I've seen angels that are fallen angels do things that are tricky and takes intelligence that are intricate details in those kind of realms. So those are not just fallen angels. Wise also, unfallen angels are also smart. They have knowledge. They have things they know about, and things we can consider very complicated, like computers, they find very simple, and they find elementary, because God made them, I believe, with very much high intelligence themselves. We'll be like the angels are ourselves also in due time. Number three, angels are also without number. Hebrews chapter 12, 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it says, to an innumerable company of angels. They are claiming right now that at least 1 billion people on the earth have been born again believers in Jesus Christ, and all those 1 billion people had their own angels. So there's got to be at least 4 or 5 billion angels in heaven. Amen. And even beyond that, the Bible says actually it's innumerable how many angels there are around the throne of God, in the atmosphere around us, in the universe. And these angels also, the Bible even says in one part, they're actually longing for the return of Jesus Christ to see the sons of God, which is you and I, that are born again believers, become revealed, because they're saying, hey, we are trapped with you guys on this little bitty dot called the earth. We want to get loose. We want to get this whole universe blown up for a great party for Jesus Christ and God here, and see Satan bound, see demons bound, and see what God wants to do unfold for all eternity with us working right alongside the redeemed of the Lord who will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And so these angels are also, I think, in their own ways, going through a little bit of frustration and saying, would you please come back, Jesus Christ? Would there please be a rapture? Let us go. We want to get out of this little bitty ball called the earth and move beyond this place in due time. That's just my kind of take on that as well. So kind of a side thing. Number four, angels also have supernatural powers. The Bible says one angel, this one, in Revelation chapter 18, took a millstone, could have been a meteorite or an asteroid, throws it into the sea, and it says one-third of the earth's population dies from what one angel does, throwing an asteroid, meteorite, a millstone, the Bible says, into the sea. In Isaiah chapter 37, there's Hezekiah, who's going through a time where a king comes against him from the Assyrian army. I think his name might have been Sennacherib. And it says he had a great mighty army that destroyed many kingdoms before him, including Egypt and so forth. And so this Sennacherib guy begins mocking the armies of Hezekiah and the Israelites and says, you will just be like one of them. You guys need to give up and surrender. We're going to take and destroy you guys otherwise. And so the Bible says Hezekiah prays to God, fasts before God, cries out to God. And it says in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36, when Hezekiah does this, then the angel of the Lord goes out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. And when people arose in the morning, early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. That's one angel doing that, okay? And so these angels have got supernatural power to do things under God's command that God wants them also to do. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, it says here, Peter was trying to cut the man's head off that was trying to arrest Jesus Christ, a servant of the high priest. He missed his neck and hit his ear and cut his ear off instead. And it says here, Jesus Christ says, put your sword up. I don't need your help in the natural realm. Peter, I need to die on the cross. He said, or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide for me with more than 12 legions of angels to protect me if I need that? That's 12,000 angels. So I can pray to God right now. He'll send down 12,000 angels and protect me just like that. But I don't need that. I need to go to the cross, die on the cross for the sins of mankind and fulfill the prophecies of why I'm on the face of the earth. Okay, so the good news is you have an angel that has lots of buddies around him. We belong to a divine holy mafia that's named the Kingdom of God with holy angels all around us. They see every move you make. They see every breath you take. They're there to watch over us, protect us. They've got buddies that will work with them. And they're here also to help us out under God's command and God's direction. So they have supernatural power. They can move at the speed of light. They are always open to the clear and direct commands of God himself. Have I told you guys yourself, one thing I saw by scientists a few years ago on television, they put these special cameras out in Colorado, I think it was, in some mountains, trying to film phenomenon that took place at the speed of light. And this camera actually slowed down items that were going that fast where you actually could see them on the camera. It was doing that many frames per second to actually see things going the speed of light going by the lens. To their amazement, when they went back and looked at the developed camera, the film that was there or the recording that was done there, they saw these rods of light about this long just going zoom, 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 back and forth all the time, all around them in front of the atmosphere, in front of those cameras. That's what I think could be ministering spirits that are going to and fro, back and forth at the speed of light here, doing God's bidding upon the earth. Amen? Because they are light. They are from God's kingdom. They don't need to have a body with wings and look like Michael on like John Travolta on television. They have to be like what God wants them to be like. They are spirit beings that move at the speed of light. They're powerful, mighty, and protective, okay? So moving on here, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? So that talks about Jesus Christ being superior to the angels. Are the angels not all ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That also is that whole verse there is one of the verses that to me lights up a doctrinal, I guess, theological bell inside of me about salvation. People say, are we eternally saved? Once saved, always saved. Can you lose your salvation? Well, this verse says here, those who will inherit salvation. So I believe we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but I believe also we're being saved. I believe we're going towards heaven. We're being saved, going there. We will inherit salvation, okay? This verse talks about that also. We're going to find ourselves inheriting salvation when we see Jesus Christ face to face, and he enters us into the joys of heaven forevermore. So moving on beyond this, your note says governments of the world use the word minister. The word minister goes in that blank spot to identify those who are in an office of authority. So Daniel prayed, the Bible says, and the archangel Michael wrestled for 21 days with the prince of Persia. So he's called the minister of defense, Michael the archangel. Israel in the wilderness had the ministers of defense, of health, education, and welfare working in their behalf. Their shoes didn't wear out. The manna came down. There was clouds. There was protection. All things were good around them. The minister of health, education, and welfare is right there with them all the way through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. In Revelation, an angel gathers all of God's people from the four corners of the earth. He's called the minister of transportation. So we have the ministers around us, all around us, that are called angels, ministering to the heirs of salvation. They're here to serve the body of Christ, but they're here to do that under the command of God himself. So we have angels who do a better job of protecting us than the Secret Service does over our president of our nation even today, because these angels have no limits. They can see all things. They can see around them. They know just what to do to bring protection to us from things that might otherwise hurt us in our lives. Give me a second here. Excuse me. Number five is there are angels that are good, and there's also angels that actually are evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." I spoke last week about how Satan himself is very deceptive. He does not come to us in a pitchfork and horns, of course, in a very, very evil manner. He comes spouting out good things, pleasurable things, looks sometimes very nice. And again, every false religion, every cult has been formed by an angel that was a demon that looked very nice, very kind, very good. But actually, in their own hearts, they were fallen angels with an agenda from hell to bring great destruction upon the people of the earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now take note of that, because what he's saying here is, these are the things that will try to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. They are things like death. Your children get killed prematurely in car crashes or sickness or whatever else. That'll cause many parents to turn their hearts away from God. Nor life, because life sometimes gives you bad curveballs. Sometimes bad things take place in life, so life does that. Angels can do that, it says here. Principalities, powers, things present, things to come. These are things like earthquakes, things that are like tornadoes and floods and so forth, economic disasters. So all these are things that are meant to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. But I am convinced, he says, none of these things shall separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, which is in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so Revelation speaks of the dragon that sweeps one third of the stars out of the heavens and casts them down upon the earth. Most theologians see that as a symbol of the great dragon Satan taking one third of all the angels with him when he fell out of heaven, and they became fallen angels, which are now called demons today, upon the earth. Okay, so I believe the same thing myself. There's great evidence that there has been many angels have fallen. Many verses of the Bible talk about this happening here. And so there's many thousands, even millions of fallen angels around us. There's still two-thirds of the angels on our side. The main thing is we have Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit on our side. And the blood of Christ also is on our side against the powers of darkness, okay? So Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached ourselves to you, let him be accursed." Okay, the word accursed in the Greek language, it actually means to be removed from and to be separated from. Notice that demons want to separate you and remove you from your salvation or your love for Jesus Christ, because they themselves have been accursed, which means they've been separated from God themselves. Any angel who loses connection with God is called a demon, okay? The thing that made us, we're formed from, we must stay connected to that to remain like it is. All fish must remain connected to water, lest they die. All plants may stay hooked up to dirt, lest they perish and lest they die. When angels lose connection with God, they become demons, fallen angels, and they become an accursed thing. They have a separation disorder in them, and their main goal now is separate you and I from the love of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Because, again, Satan and demons cannot touch God. They can't touch Jesus, and they cannot touch the Holy Spirit. But if I cannot touch you, I can hurt you by harming your children. because I know you love your children. Your heart is for your children. So Satan attacks God's children to try to get to God and get God unhappy, cause God pain, and cause God grief. That's why you're a main attack of the devil himself, because he hates God and he wants to see God suffer pain somehow. And he does that through touching the people of God upon the earth. So be aware of that, understand that, but don't be afraid of that. That's simply a fact of what takes place upon the earth. Okay, so your note says here, what is any other gospel? What's that mean? It's any gospel that says we have access to God and salvation, where salvation goes in that blank spot, through any other means except for Jesus. That's what any other gospel is. It's having access to God, access to heaven, access to eternal life by any other means than salvation through Jesus Christ himself. Every cult, every false religion may use the name of Jesus Christ and say he's a good prophet, a good man, a good person, but they will not say he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and confessing him as your Lord and Savior upon the face of the earth. Okay, so understand that's going to be the fact there. That's why, again, when the Mormon lady called me up on the telephone here at church about a year ago, and she's trying to explain to me about how she was grieved by somebody in our church not letting their child go to the Mormon church because it was a false religion, I just simply said back to her again, well, the problem we have is we don't serve the same Jesus you serve. And she said, oh, that breaks my heart. You don't serve the same Jesus I serve. I said, no, your Jesus is actually the brother of Lucifer. Your Jesus is actually a man that's become God, but we're going to become equal to Jesus ourselves in due time here. That's not the same Jesus Christ we serve. We serve a Jesus Christ that will always be God, always be above us, will always be serving him. We serve that Jesus Christ, only through him comes salvation. And I wasn't saying that in a real cocky, mean, kind of a prideful type voice there. I just kind of just giving some straight facts to her there, because you got to approach folks involved in cults and false religions there with who Jesus is. Don't argue about the 144,000 or about the name Jehovah. All those things will get you nowhere at all with their arguments that they give you. You got to always focus on who is your Jesus. Who is my Jesus? That's where we're different, and that's where the place comes to bring in salvation to them, hopefully. You must define who Jesus is for them and for you, okay? That's why we got to know ourselves, who is Jesus? What's he stand for? What's he say? How do we get saved, salvation, through our Jesus in the Bible, in truth, the way, the truth, and the life? Amen? So moving on here, if you were taught that you can receive salvation through a prayer wheel, through acts of kindness, through joining a group, or flogging yourself with some kind of whip, then that's another gospel. You do not get saved by works, religion, kindnesses, or even moral acts or social acts. Only by the blood of Jesus do we get saved and receive eternal life. Amen. We all know that. We believe that. But it must be something that's driven into our own hearts and lives for folks around us also as well in the right way. How does this get messed up? Well, here it says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. Krishna, Buddha, Joseph Smith. We're not saved by those names. Only the name of Jesus Christ are we going to be saved. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ himself. It's not a priest. It's not Mother Mary. It's not some being. It's not Christ himself. It's only through Jesus Christ we are going to have access to God. And it's by his name, by who he is, this happens. Revelation chapter 7, verse 10 and 11, it says, and crying out with a loud voice, they said, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The Lamb of God is Jesus. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God. And so angels bow down, redeemed people bow down before the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and before God, and God lets them do that, which shows Jesus Christ is equal to God. He's part of the Trinity. He's worthy of praise, worthy of worship, and so it shows it to us in black and white in the Bible as well. Number six, angels are also messengers of God. Three angels appeared to Abraham to tell him that he and his wife would have a child while they were 100 years old and 90 years old. Also, the angels appeared to Lot to warn him. Get your family out of Sodom, out of Gomorrah. We're going to destroy this city because of all the evil, wickedness found in the culture of this place. And then also, an angel prepared the way before the servants of Abraham to find a wife for Isaac, whose name was Rebekah. Genesis 24, verse 7 says, "The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house," this is talking about the servant of Abraham trying to find a wife for Isaac, "and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from that place," from there. What this means to you and I is we should always pray for divine direction and God's divine help when we seek a job, seek a new car, seek a new whatever. Say, "Father God, would you please go before me? I believe you, God, to go before me and make my path straight." And what God does is I believe God starts dispatching ministering angels to make the way straight before you, to make sure you meet the right person in the right place at the right time, to receive the right job, right wife, right husband, right friends, right whatever. In big decisions, I want God's help. Amen. I want my kids to get God's help. And so I believe God will again start making angels, cause angels to start making things happen for us on the earth when we pray to him and say, "Father, direct my footsteps by your Spirit." Okay? Your note says we cannot command angels. The word command goes there. That's one of the big teachings that took place in the charismatic movement several years ago. We're being taught by some TV ministers. Let's start commanding angels. Let's start dictating things over the angels. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us you have the authority to start commanding angels. Angels are under the direct command of God the Father. They're under his authority. They belong to him. They're under his jurisdiction. They're helping us. They serve us in some ways, but it's under the command, under the guise, or under the authority of God himself in heaven. So they serve us in full submission to God. We pray to God in Jesus' name. We don't pray to angels in Jesus' name. And then God decides what angels to send to help us out. Amen? You know, back in, I heard teachings in the past how folks are told in intercessory prayer, let's start dispatching 1,000 angels over Austin, Texas, that all folks might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, God, in Jesus' name, I loose 1,000 angels upon Austin, Texas. And what God says back is, you need 200,000. You're not dispatching enough. You don't know what you're even talking about or doing there. Start speaking in tongues. Start praying in the Spirit. You need to start saying things your brain can't figure out. That's what God's saying back to people like that. Amen? We start getting our own ideas here of how many angels dispatched, 2 over here, 5 over there, 6 over there, 1,000 over there. And God's saying, just start speaking in tongues. I'll decide how many angels I need to use to get your prayers answered in Jesus' name. Amen? So, you know, there's this whole thing was going on there more and more about how God's getting smaller and smaller. We're getting bigger and bigger ourselves. But the apostle said, I must become less and he must become more. Amen? So that's how we pray. And angels are commanded by God, not by us. Now, I have had times where if weird things take place in my house in the past, I had times where I would say, now, Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray, oh God, dispatch warring angels in this house all night long in Jesus' name. And when I do that, I've had peaceful sleep, no weird noises or things take place, and so I know that God, again, answers prayers like that. But I did not command angels to come in there and be there. I said, now, God, I pray you would send forth warring angels here. And I believe God hears that and God does that when we pray in faith. Okay, and last of all, number 7, angels minister to the needy. Look at Hagar. Hagar was the the servant of Abraham's wife, Sarah. And through Hagar, the Bible says Abraham became impatient, had sex with her, birthed a young man named Ishmael. We all know the story of Ishmael as well. And because finally, Sarah did get pregnant and gave birth to the right baby named Isaac. Well, then, of course, as Isaac gets older, Ishmael's mocking Isaac, makes Sarah get angry. Sarah gets jealous, and Sarah says, "Your son's mocking my son. I'm going to kick you and him both out of the house." That's a great example there of what takes place when we have polygamy. That's why God's not for polygamy. Amen. Doesn't work out when two women live in the same house with one man. Doesn't work. And so it kind of shows there in a very, very graphic sense. And so, of course, she gets her way. Sarah does. Ishmael's kicked out. Hagar is kicked out. And they find themselves in the wilderness with a skin of water only to live on. And so Hagar's crying, weeping, puts her baby Ishmael, young boy Ishmael, under a bush. And it says an angel shows up, or even God shows up and says, "What are you doing crying here?" And it says, "I'm here to let my own son die under the shrub there. We've been pushed out, kicked out, and so forth." Let's read here Genesis chapter 21, verse 17 through 20. Get his account here about this. "And God heard the voice of a lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar and out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of a lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation.' Then God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water, gave the lad a drink. And so God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer in that place." That shows us how God, again, will send an angel to show us that in the time of desperate need, there's going to be a well of water somehow, some way, that God opens our eyes up to that, and is opened up to us by the angels God sends around us to help us out. Your note says, last of all, those who created yesterday's pain in your life do not control your future. The word control goes there. Do not let folks who caused pain in your past control your today's and your tomorrows. Forgive them. Forget about that. Let it go. Don't dwell on that, and realize God has got a well of water in your path that an angel is going to open up to you, open your eyes up to that, to bless your life and to help you out. If James is coming to the front here to help me out here at the end of the service, we're going to pray in a moment. Understand that we are in a war on this earth. There's a struggle around us all the time. No matter how much we have in life, there's going to be always flies in the ointment to cause trouble at our workplace, in our neighborhoods, on the interstate, our cars that are going to break down sometimes, flat tires do happen, our bodies sometimes get sick, sometimes bones get broke, sometimes our kids rebel, sometimes things take place to our grandparents and to our aunts and uncles. Always in this fallen world, there's warfare, wrestling, the struggles all around us. The fact is, God does not send anything our way that we do not need. Amen? God's got angels on assignment around us to help us out, protect us, guide us, direct us, and bring things our ways to bless our lives as well. That's one reason also I think the Bible tells us, give no place to the devil, because when we sin, disobey God, and get in rebellion against God himself, there's gaps in the armor around us that allows demonic angels to start coming into our lives, whispering in our ears, giving lies to us, getting us depressed, getting us discouraged, causing things to break around us, even sometimes touching our bodies and trying to bring some kind of discomfort or pain to us in our lives. Understand that as well. God's with us. Just last week, an angel, I believe, showed up as Michelle and I was walking our dogs around the block. She can testify to this, that our little bitty multi-poo, a little bitty puff of thing, 4-pound, 5-pound dog, 4 or 5 years old on a leash here with our other dog that can't hear very well named Maddie. We're walking in front of a person's garage, and their English bulldog is not on a leash. He's coming right at Lacey, who yelps and screams like a little girl, and is screaming and yelping because this bulldog is coming at her full blast. And our dog is so, I don't want to use the word stupid, but she somehow will go at anything that comes at her. She goes at that, yelping in fear. Going, she says, my instincts say, attack you, but I'm scared to death. So she's sitting there barking like this, but she's scared to death, but she can't help herself. And this English bulldog gets right on her to grab her by the throat. I've seen what takes place in South Africa to a, dog with a bulldog on his throat. And so I, by the grace of God, had a tight rope or a tight thing on this leash. And I just pulled the dog, and the dog went airborne. And I started doing this like a lasso with a dog. It's going around in circles. And the bulldog is going around there jumping, a little bitty short, stubby legs, can't jump very high. And the dog's going up and down and up and down. The bulldog's going up and down. And the owner finally runs out there, totally frantic, grabs his own bulldog finally and pulls him off. And things are okay. We all live happily ever after. Now, the good news is, our little dog was not hurt one bit by the swinging around of its neck on the leash. That dog did not yelp and cry. It had no pain. I did not hurt our dog one bit. There were angels on that dog. Amen. Cheryl can testify that dog was not hurt. There's no blood, no marks. So don't send me letters and emails. You're mean to dogs. I saved a dog's life. Angels were there. Amen. And I think that's just one little bitty thing that shows us that there's always supernatural things around us that help us see natural things that are bad not become so bad when the angels show up and God shows up and brings a better result. Amen. Let's pray tonight. This is Thanksgiving season. Christmas season is a season for angels. The Bible talks very much about angels around the birth of Jesus, around the manger, around Mary, around Joseph. Angels talked about time and time again. So there's angels around us working, I believe, strongly in this holiday season to draw people to Christ, to help to do things, to put them in the right place, the right time. What I want to pray about tonight is, God, help us be sensitive to pray in faith, that you have got ministering spirits around us, that when we pray for our lost relatives, we pray for our lost neighbors, we pray for our lost co-workers, that they're going to send angels at your discretion, at your command, to orchestrate things, oh God, only you can orchestrate, to put them in the right place at the right time to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. They must be born again, but you love them. You care about them. Father, we thank you, oh God, tonight for all the things you've done for us in the past to save our lives, protect us, protect our property, protect our animals, protect our finances, protect our jobs, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, because you have sent ministering angels around us to do supernatural things. Otherwise, calamity would have happened. Father, we praise you and thank you right now for your faithfulness upon our cities, upon our nation, and upon the people of God who are heirs, joint heirs of Christ, to have ministering angels working in their behalf. Father, we pray, oh God, tonight, help us be those who pray even more so from this night forward in faith. And when we pray, you activate the angels. You activate the realms of the spirits. You do supernatural things in our behalf that brings forth divine, lasting results. We praise you, God, and thank you, Lord, for all these things in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Does anybody have any? It's just one very short question or comment before you just take off and leave tonight. Anybody, anything at all? We're going to carry on next Wednesday night, second teaching on angels. Then beyond that is Deck the Walls. So if you can come back on Saturday morning, we want all the guys to be here, okay? But it also means some of you girls, ladies to be here as well, please. It's going to be washing windows time and whatever Charlie says to do, doing that, okay? If you can be here, God bless you. Have a great week. Sign up here for Thanksgiving luncheon. You stay as long as you want. And last one out tonight, because Greg's not here, turn the lights out, please. We'll see you guys back here Sunday morning. Who can be back here? God bless you. Yes. Believe God for good things this weekend.